If that don't bless your heart, your blesser's broken, and you need to hit the altar, amen? My goodness. Thank you so much for that song. What a blessing. Y'all had to give me a minute. Everybody in this room deserves hell. Every one of us. But thank God for His love.
Amen.
Satan going to try to tell you you're not worth it. You ought to just throw in the towel. Just give in. Just remind him. It's under the blood. He's going to try to accuse you. Try to tell you you're not going to make any difference for God. But God uses the unlikely. And people that nobody else would think could be used. Just to show His power. Amen. What a God we serve. Thank you all for that song. Listen, it's very special to me too because I watched her get saved. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Amen.
And I'm so glad that
it's Amen. 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 I've heard people say the best ability is dependability.
Yes.
But I believe with all my heart the best ability is availability.
Yes.
Just somebody saying, Lord, here am I.
Amen.
Here am I. And you know what? Faith Baptist Church doesn't have to be the biggest and the best as the world would look at it. We just have to say, Lord, here am I.
Amen.
Lord, we want to be used. And that ought to be your prayer. Just to be used of the Lord. I'm still overwhelmed by the song for a minute. You just have to bear with me. Just to think what you used to be to what you are now.
Amen.
If you're saved here tonight. We'll be in Joshua 7 tonight. Not a person in this room that can say that you've arrived. Not anybody in this room can say I'm everything I should be. We all have work to do to strive to be holy. Righteous and godly in this present world. We've got a world full of people that are duped by Satan, believing a lie, that they're not good enough. And by the way, we're not good enough, but God loved us, and that made us good enough.
Amen.
Joshua 7. Last week we preached to you a message, Are You a Destroyer? We talked about Achan's sin and how in Ecclesiastes 9:18 says wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. See, when you have sin in your life, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When a child of God lives with unconfessed sin in their life, you hinder God's working in your heart. You can hinder God's working in the church. You can hinder God from doing what God wants to do. Because God's not going to bless unrighteousness. God's not going to bless sin. Now, God is gracious and merciful. And He's long-suffering. and he gives you chance after chance after chance after chance. And I praise the Lord for his mercy.
Amen.
But sometimes we just need to just come down to it and just deal with our sin issues. Just do business with it. And just get to the place where we just do what we have to do, get our pride put aside, and just deal with it. Because if we don't deal with it, it's going to fester and it's going to grow and it's going to continue to cause heartache in your heart and your life. And in Joshua chapter 7, here we find the nation of Israel fighting a battle against Jericho. God had given them a command to not touch of anything inside the city, to go in there and to destroy those inhabitants of Jericho, and that God was going to get the victory, and that God was going to give them a blessing through it. But as they were amongst the battle, the temptation came. Achan saw the Babylonian garment. He saw the wedge of gold. He saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, and he took it and he buried it in his tent. And in Joshua 7, verse 13, it says, "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you." Now I want you to think about that verse and then think about Ephesians, where he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Here he's telling the nation of Israel, he said, you cannot stand unless you get rid of the evil thing, the accursed thing that's among you. Listen, you're never going to be able to stand in the Christian life until you deal with the sin issues, until you deal with the problems in your life. Listen, Satan's going to tell you, oh, don't say anything. They don't know what they're talking about. Nobody's going to know. God knows. Whether we ever know or not, you don't have to confess your sins to me. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You don't have to come and say, well, preacher, I'm guilty of this and I'm guilty of that. God already knows what you're guilty of. You just need to give it to him. Talk to him about it. But we all have battles with our flesh nature. Because when we got saved, if you've been here on Wednesday nights, you've heard the lessons that we've talked. We have not lost the flesh nature when we gained a spirit nature. We just got another nature inside of us. Now there's a war raging, and whichever one that we feed the most is the one that wins. And if we feed the flesh, we're going to have corruption. If we feed the spirit, we're going to grow in the things of God. And so we have a battle that's going on inside of us, and knowing how to deal with sin in our life, especially before it festers and shackles you, because you can be bound by sin. You just heard that song. You know, we're bound. But when God saved us, the blood of Christ paid for that. He unlocked those chains. So why do we continue to allow him to wrap us up? The fact is, he wants us to have victory. We sing the song, "Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever." And listen, we can have victory through the Lord Jesus. I was just speaking with, I believe, Brother Ron about getting victory in our Christian life. I think oftentimes we think we have to go into sin, but we don't. Because God gave us a way out. Who is that? Through Jesus Christ. A lot of times I've heard people say, well, God's not going to put anything on you that you're not able to bear. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says that there's no temptation taking you, which such is common to man, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you're able to bear it. So what that means is you can get through the temptation, you can overcome this, you can deal with these sin issues and get rid of these problems if you'll focus on Jesus Christ, if you'll follow him and let him be your guide. We talked about that this morning, looking unto Jesus. As we look at God's Word, I want to see some steps in our life that will help us deal with sin in our lives. Some things in our life that will help us to deal with sin. God tells them here, he says, get up, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Listen, I can't help sanctify you. You have to do it yourself. You have to put on the armor of God. It's going to take effort, work on your part, to be what God wants you to be. So what are some steps? We're going to talk about dealing with sin problems. Dealing with sin problems tonight. We spoke about how to be an overcomer before, but we're going to actually talk about how do we get rid of the sin in our life? How do we get rid of what we've been struggling with and going through all of this stuff? I want you to take your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking," how do we do that? It goes on, it has a comma there continuing. It says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby." So the first step in dealing with sin problems is this: growing in God's word. Growing in God's word. You can never have a cleansing in your life unless you allow the washing of the water of the word in your life. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And verse number 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." See what it said? "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy," comma, and continues on, "and keep those things which are written therein." So growing in God's word. It's very important for us to read the Bible, allow the Bible to affect our heart, to go into our hearts and minds, that it helps clean us up. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through" what? "The word which I have spoken unto you." So how do I deal with sin issues? How do I deal with sin in my life is I allow the word of God to affect me. I grow in God's word. Listen, we don't just stand up here and harp to you about, "You ought to read the Bible, you ought to read the Bible, you ought to read the Bible," because that's just something spiritual for us to tell you. We tell you to read the Bible because that is the only way that you're going to get rid of sin in your life. That's the only way that you're going to get rid of these problems that are going on. See, when he told him up, sanctify yourself. You have to get back there, get some things cleaned up in your life. In Joshua chapter number 7, the nation of Israel was fighting a battle, and even though somebody did something wrong in there, they still got victory over, but then God began to chasten them. And he's telling them now why did they go before Ai, this small battle, and it seemed like this small battle was harder than the big battle that they just fought. How was this that we could be defeated in this small little battle that it seemed? First off, they didn't go to God. They got thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. They allowed sin to infiltrate their life, and now they're struggling to even fight the smallest battle. And we wonder why in our Christian life it's the same way. Man, we got victory over certain things, and man, things are wonderful and they're good. And then we start allowing sin to enter into our life again. It seems like every little battle just defeats us, defeats us, defeats us. And then we look at it and think, "Wow, how did I get where I'm at?" Because we're not focusing on God's word and letting God's word come into our heart. Listen, when you begin to read God's word, you ought to go with this mindset of, "Lord, I need something from you today." Allowing God's word to help grow you. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Not only just reading God's word, hearing it, but grounding your thoughts in Scripture. You say, what's that mean? Not only should you read God's word, but you should memorize and meditate on God's word. There's great power in the word of God. Satan has to flee when you throw God's word out. See, remember when Jesus was tempted and he said, "It is written. It is written." Satan doesn't like to be stabbed with the word of God. He doesn't like to have it penetrate him. He'll try to twist it and make you believe lies. But when you bring truth and that sword of the Spirit pierces him, Satan begins to run. You got to ground your thoughts. Meditate upon the things of God. Look at Joshua chapter number 1. In verse number 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein on Sundays only." Glad some of you are paying attention. "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night." How do you argue that? You can't. Well, preacher, why should I read the Bible every day? Is it really necessary? I'm good just with Wednesday and Sunday. Listen, if you want to be successful in the Christian life, the Bible says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." See, what God is telling you is that as you grow in God's Word, you begin to study God's Word and you meditate on God's Word, you begin to obey God's Word, let it be part of your life, that you begin to walk what you're reading, what's going into your eyes and into your heart through the Word of God, you begin to walk in those things. That's when God says, then you're successful. That's when you'll be successful. So how do I get rid of sin problems? I got to grow in God's Word and ground my thoughts in Scripture. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 9 through 11. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see what it says there, the pattern? How do I cleanse my way? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It said, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Why is it so important for you not just to read God's word, but to memorize God's word? Because not everybody in this room carries the Bible with you 24/7. But if you meditate and you study and you memorize, guess what? You carry this word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it's in your heart. It's inside of you. It's there. It's been penetrated, saturated inside of you, and it'll help you. There's great power in God's Word. It's very helpful when you go through that. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate one day a week, day and night." That's what it says, right? He shall meditate day and night. Why? Because then he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the unrighteous..." It's going through all these things talking about, listen, if you're not studying God's word, memorizing God's word, you're just going to be blown away when the storms come. Just out of here. But you want to have a good root system and be able to overcome these sin problems and deal with these sin issues. It's going to start with a cleansing of God's Word and memorizing God's Word. I wonder how many people could say that I memorize Scripture. If you're honest, most children of God, most born-again believers, don't study and meditate on God's Word and memorize God's Word. Oh, we know some familiar ones, John 3:16. If we were to go around, even some people out in the world can quote John 3:16. They've heard it. They know it. A lot of people can go through the Lord's Prayer. A lot of people can go through Psalms 23. But if we begin to just to quote Scripture, begin to meditate on God's Word, begin to just try to let it be in our heart and coming out of us, what's the importance of it? Listen, it doesn't matter if you know every stat of every football player, every basketball player. They don't even know who you are. What's it matter if you know who they are? Jesus knows you. He knows who you are. But the sad part is, we know more about them than we do about God. Born again believers that have been saved, blood bought, it's under the blood. You can shout the rooftop off that you're not going to hell for 1 second, doesn't know anything about the one who saved them, because they don't meditate on God's word. And we wonder why we're not successful in the Christian life. And we have to deal with these sin issues. It's going to cause you to, you have to grow in God's Word, ground your thoughts in Scripture. Another thing you have to do if you're going to overcome sin problems is we're going to have to guard our tongue. Guard our tongue. Look at Psalm 39. Verse 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Listen, sometimes we make a mess out of our life because we don't know how to guard our tongue. We need to learn how to guard our tongue. We need to go to God's Word, let God's Word penetrate our hearts and meditate upon it. That way we know what can come out. Listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaketh. You wonder why it seems like God's people talk just like the world. You know why? Because we allow the world in our heart. Read the book of Lamentations. It says your eye affects your heart. Your eye affects your heart. You know your eyes are a window to the soul, to the inside. What goes in will come out. You put garbage in, garbage will come out. You put good in, good will come out. You got to stay in God's Word. Ground yourself in it. Guard your tongue. Be careful what you say. Young people, listen, don't sass mom and dad. Why? Because you're just adding on top of things that are going on in your life. You need to guard your tongue. Husbands, wives, you need to guard your tongue. Just because you got the last word doesn't mean you won. You need to guard your tongue. But then you need to get away from evil companions. Get away from evil companions. The wrong crowd is a big factor of why people are falling into sin. It's called peer pressure power. That's what I like to call it. Okay? Peer pressure power. What is it? People are around you. Psalm 1, that's what they use in the Reformers Unanimous. If you've been involved in Reformers Unanimous, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Listen, how foolish are we as God's people think we're going to get rid of sin and still go back to the same crowd we've always hung out with? We think we're going to get victory over sin problems and deal with these sin issues in our life, and we'll come to a church like this who's preaching right and telling us to do right. We'll come down to an altar, say, God, I want to get these things right. I want to put them on the altar. We get up, go right back to the same things we were just getting involved in. But you're not going to be prosperous in those ways. You're going to continue to struggle and fall into those things. You need to get away from evil companions. If you've got people on Facebook trying to tell you something contrary to the Word of God, you need to unfriend them. If you have people growing up trying to tell you, young people, you got kids telling you mom and dad aren't right, the Bible's not right, all those kind of things, you need to get away from them. Why? Because they're going to drag you down. You need to get away from evil companions. You're never going to deal with a sin issue in your life if you're around the wrong crowd. When I was a police officer, we had times where I had to deal with people, and guess what? They got arrested because they were just there. You say, well, that's not really fair. There's a saying called guilty by association. There's a guy who's driving a car, and guys go in and rob a convenience store, hop in the car, they drive off. He didn't really know what was going on, he says, but he was the driver. They all went to jail. Why? Because he was with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things, in the wrong place, with the wrong kind of people, and he had to suffer the consequences for it. The fact of the matter is, we can't expect to play with a serpent and not get bit. We can't expect to be around the wrong crowd and get out in the world and act like we're going to have victory over what... Listen, when you're in the devil's area, what he's the prince and the power of the air in this earth, you're not going to defeat him in his on his turf. You understand that? You got to follow the Lord and get God in on this thing. And listen, we're going to be out there amongst the world. We're going to have to deal with them, but you need to get away from evil companions. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Preacher, Psalm 1 is in the Old Testament. We're a New Testament church. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I don't like that excuse. Well, that's Old Testament. Well, 1 Corinthians isn't. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Who's he writing to? The church at Corinth. You know what he's saying? Evil communications. Communicating with people that aren't doing right. They corrupt good manners. You can take one rotten apple and throw it in a bushel of good apples, and the rotten apple is not turning good. The good apples are going to turn rotten. Why? Because evil communication corrupts good manners. You start hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong kind of things, guess what? You're going to act just like they are. You are who your friends are. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. How many of you would agree the Bible is God's Word?
Amen.
How many of you would agree that it has all authority?
Amen.
How many of you believe as God's child we ought to obey it, every word?
Amen.
Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, I'm glad you agree. Look what the Bible says, verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. So then what do I do? You tell me what not to do, God. What do I do? Look at the next verse. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Pretty simple, isn't it? So what do I do, preacher? If I got all these friends that I grew up with, you know, we've been friends for years and years and years. How am I supposed to get away from them? Avoid them. Get away from them. Why? Because you're different now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You ought to please him and honor him with your life. We have friends. Well, they've been my friend for years. I can't. Listen, I didn't say you have to shun them and never say hi to them, never talk to them. You can be cordial to them, but you don't have to hang out the places you used to hang out. Go do what you used to do and expect to get victory over sin problems. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Look at 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 20 and following. Them that sin rebuke before all men, that others may also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one another before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. It said, don't be a partaker of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. You know what? I can't keep you pure. You have to keep yourself pure. How do I do that? I'm not a partaker in other people's sins. See, you can't take fire into your bosom and not get burned. You can't play with fire long enough without getting burned. You're going to get burned. It's going to happen. There was a young man named Stephen when I was a police officer, and he was a homeless man who lived in the city. And I began to deal with him on a regular basis. He would be intoxicated every time I saw him, and I'd deal with Stephen. And he was a young man, younger than I was at the time. And I began to talk to him, and he was about 26 years of age. And I said, Stephen, why don't you get a job? Why don't you just do something with your life, man? You're young. You need to go out and just do something with your life. And this was the only time in 4 years that I saw him sober. The only time. And I began to talk to Stephen, and his testimony was this, that he, at the age of 18, began to work with a construction company, got very good at it very quickly. By the time he was 20, he owned his own business, was doing very well, had his house, his wife, his everything that anybody could ever want. He said one time he came home and found his wife with someone else, and he said this. He said, I turned to alcohol because of my problem, and alcohol became my problem. That's what he told me. See, the fact of the matter is, if you never deal with sin the first time, it's not going to continue to make you a slave to it. You say, what do you mean? If you don't go out and do those things, guess what you're going to... I used to think, man, I had a boring testimony growing up. I'd hear people that... God saved them. Man, what a glorious testimony it is. God can bring people out of sin and change their life. People that lived in wicked sin, God changed their heart direction and bring them out. But you know what? I used to think, man, my testimony's boring. I grew up in a Christian home. I didn't deal with a lot of these things. I never drank. I never smoked. I never did drugs. I never had to deal with all this problem. And man, what a boring life I led. And then I got to the place where I became an adult and I realized, thank God for his protection. And anybody who's lived in sin long enough will tell you, you don't want to go there. You don't want to play that game. So how do you do it? Get away from wrong people and hang around the right crowd. Hang around people that are going to bring you to the right kind of thing. So get in God's Word. Ground yourself in God's Word. Meditate upon it. Guard your tongue. Get away from evil companions. Then you need to grapple with the Lord in prayer. You say, what's the word grapple mean? It means to hold or make fast to something or someone. If you ever seen wrestling, there's a thing called grappling, and they wrestle and they're hanging on to each other and they're twisting. You know what you need to do? You go to God in prayer like that. Praying for God's help is the key to overcoming sin. Prayer can be used as a weapon when you're tempted. You can use prayer in your life to help you. You need to wrestle with God in prayer. I mean, I'm talking about grapple with Him, not letting go of Him. You ought to be praying, asking God to help you. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. These aren't things that I'm making up. I'm showing you the Word of God for it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I've already quoted this verse for you, but I want to let you see it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye are able to bear it. You know what? It said that God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. You know why? Because there's going to come things in your life that will make you crumble if you try to do it without God. But God always makes a way of escape. How do you do it? Just go to Him in prayer. Wrestle with God. Give it to Him. Say, God, I'm not letting go of You. I want You to help me. Look at 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation of our sins. Listen, you just need to go to Him. Go to Him in prayer. He's our advocate with the Father. He's the one that we can go to, talk to Him about it. Listen, you're never going to overcome sin issues if you try to do it by yourself. You're not strong enough. You've got to let go and let God have it. How do you do that? Through God's Word, the cleansing of God's Word, through prayer, getting away from evil companions, guarding your tongue, watching what you say. Pray, talk to the Lord about it. But then you need to submit yourself or give yourself wholly to the Lord. It's vital that you yield to the Holy Spirit's control every day. You've got to yield to the Holy Spirit's control every day. Paul said, I die daily. Look at Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter number 5. This verse right here will help you to deal with sin problems. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen, give yourself to the Lord. It's vital to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit's control every day. I was reading a book one day talking about back in the old days when they used to have those ships and those warships and things. There was something called nailing your colors to the mast. They said, what does that mean? When a lookout in a crow's nest at the top of the mast of a ship saw an enemy ship, they would often call for the colors to be lowered so that the enemy couldn't spot the flag right away and attack them. But when you nailed the colors to the mast, you were saying that no matter if the enemy sees me or not, no matter what attack is going to come my way, no matter what they can bring in my direction, I am committed to fight a battle, even if it means my life. And they would nail those colors to the mast, and they would say, listen, even if the enemy sees that I'm against them, and they begin to attack me, I'm not wavering. I'm staying on course. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to be moved to the left or to the right. I'm not running from them. I'm not cowering down from them. I'm going to keep on going forward. And the only way we're going to do that as a child of God and deal with these sin problems is submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, listen, I'm nailing my colors to the mast. Lord, I'm on your side no matter what comes my way. No matter what the devil's going to throw at me, no matter what anybody's going to try to bring at me, God, I'm staying steadfast and I'm going forward for you. That's how we ought to be in our Christian life. Just submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. He tells you, I want you to go to the mission field. You know what you say? Yes, sir. Do what you've got to do to get there. If he tells you to work on a bus route, you know what you say? Yes, sir. I need your help. You have to help me. He says, oh, I want you to get involved in this. I want you to go out and be a soul winner. I want you to go out and help the homeless. I want you to do this or do that. You know what you say? Yes, sir, here am I. Use me. Just submit yourself to him. You start focusing on what God has for you, you ain't going to have time to deal with your own issues. You understand what I mean? Because you're following God. You're submitting yourself to Scripture. You're doing what God wants you to do. Satan's going to try to fight. He's going to try to get you to stumble along the way. But you keep your eyes looking unto Jesus. And just submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. You've got to come to the place where you just say, God, I'm yours from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Where you lead, I'll follow. God, I'll go wherever it is you want me to go. I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. God, I'll talk to anybody you want me to talk to. Because I'm yours. You understand, child of God, you're bought with a price. I know you may hear this all the time, but it's not your life to live how you want to live it for yourself. It's your life to live how God wants you to live it for him. And you need to live, there's going to be some sacrifices you're going to have to make that may be appealing to the flesh. But I'll tell you what, the eternal rewards are going to be far worth anything that you'll ever experience on this earth. But if you give yourself wholly to the Lord, there's one thing you're going to have to do, and that is agree with God about your sin. Agree with God. When the Holy Spirit pinpoints something in your life, you just agree with him. You're right. You're right, Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Listen, why are we so afraid to give our sins to God and just agree with God about it? You know what he says? If you'll confess them and forsake them, you shall have mercy. God will give you mercy. We just need to agree with God about our sin. When God tells you, hey, this is wrong, don't say, no, it's not. You think God knows what's right and wrong? Sure God does. He died for it. It was all placed upon Jesus on the cross. He knows whether it's good or whether it's bad. The fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit of God pinpoints something in your life. Maybe it's the wrong music. Maybe it's the wrong crowd. Maybe it's the wrong things you're watching on television or things you're looking at on the internet. Or maybe it's just things that you're thinking, anger that you're dealing with, or whatever the sin issue may be. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. No matter what it is, if the Holy Spirit of God tells you, hey, this is wrong, you just agree with Him. If you're going to deal with a sin problem, you just got to agree with Him. Say, Lord, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong. And confess it and forsake it. Listen, God wants you to be blessed. He wants to bless you. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Between blessed and prosperous, there's a recipe for you. Not doing the wrong things with the wrong people in the wrong situation in the wrong place, getting in God's Word, letting it dictate your life, and you can be blessed, prosperous, and happy. You'll have a good food source, a good root system. So when the storms of life come, you're able to get through it. But you got to deal with them. You can't just sweep them under the rug and expect them to go away. You got to deal with the issue. You got to pluck it up by the root. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe there's some people struggling with bitterness in this church. You know what? Bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host. It'll destroy your life if you don't get rid of it. Just as every sin will. And you've got to deal with sin issues. See, the nation of Israel in Joshua chapter number 7 had to deal with sin issues. And they couldn't just sweep it under the rug. They couldn't just take the garment back to Jericho and place it back where it was and say, oh, there we are, we're cleansed now. No, it was the whole motivation behind what happened. See, they had to deal with the heart of the matter. They had to get down to the... You say, well, I think they were excessive. They did what God told them to do. They had to get rid of it. Get it out of there. Burn it. Destroy it totally. You say, well, I think God was kind of harsh in that. Well, you're not God. God said, this is how you deal with it. They had to just agree with God. This is how I deal with it. This is how I get rid of it. Listen, you got to come to the place in your life where you just agree with God and let God deal with your heart. And when God deals with your heart, don't try to tell God He's wrong, because we know if you're going to lose that battle. Because God is not wrong. And you need to agree with Him and just say, Lord, I'm going to do what You want me to do. Maybe there's some people in this church that just need to get rid of some things in their life. Maybe it's some associations you need to get away from. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Maybe it's the wrong kind of music. You say, well, what's the wrong kind of music? If you have to ask yourself, is this right or wrong, it's probably not right. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit living inside of you is going to bear witness with it if you're listening to it and it's godly and it's going to please Him. The song we just heard a few minutes ago, that's glorifying to the Lord. The one the choir sang this morning, that value of one. Listen, the Holy Spirit rejoices over those kind of things. See, how do you know? Because He lives inside of me and He was leaping, I'm telling you. We were having a good time. But if you have to ask yourself this question, is this movie right? Well, it's probably not. Should I go here? You probably shouldn't. You know why? Because you ought to go back to the Bible and say, well, everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Everything I do, guess what I'm doing? I'm taking Him with me when I go. If Jesus was physically standing there, would you do what you were doing? But the fact of the matter is, He still sees it, whether you think He's standing there or not. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're His child. And we just got to deal with some sin issues in our life. Maybe it's just our lack of obedience to the Lord. You say, what are you talking about, our lack of obedience? Maybe we're not giving like we should give. Maybe we say, well, God, I can't afford to give. God commands you as His child to give. He wants you to give. And by the way, He doesn't just tell you to give tithes. He says offerings as well. You know what that means? That means missions giving. That means building fund. That means supporting God's work. If somebody has a need and you're able to help meet that need, you give to those kind of things. Why? Because He doesn't want somebody who's greedy. He wants you to be a cheerful giver. It all belongs to Him anyway. Maybe you're just not obeying God and being a soul winner. You need to witness to people. Why? God commands it. He tells you to do it. There's some things we just got to deal with in our life. Get rid of our pride and say, God, I don't care if I'm uncomfortable. I don't care if I got to step out of my box, Lord. You tell me to do it, so I'm just going to do it. Lord, here am I. Use me. See, if Joshua would have got up and said, Lord, Achan's my friend. There's no, God, I can't do this. Achan's a good warrior. He's a good soldier. Yeah, but he brought the wrath of God upon the nation of Israel. And sin had to be dealt with. See, the fact of the matter is we need to deal with sin problems. Now listen, I think we ought to be gracious and merciful. I don't think we ought to crucify our wounded. I think we ought to teach them to come back to the Lord. And when they do, guess what? God is there with open arms, ready to receive them in. And we ought not to criticize them for it. We ought to try to help point them to the Lord. But also, we ought not to associate with people that don't want to serve God. You say, what do you mean? That means I don't have to go to the bar and get drunk to win somebody to Christ. Because I'm not doing anything but defeating the whole purpose. Because the world knows what worldliness is. And they don't want what they have. They want something different. And we have what's different. But you're going to have to deal with some sin issues before God's really going to bless. And I want God to bless Faith Baptist Church. I want God to bless this place. But the only way that's going to happen is if God's people will just finally say, I'm going to just agree with you, Lord. And whether I don't like it, whether I thought growing up that way is right or wrong, it doesn't matter. God, you say it, so I'm going to obey it. Let God's word stand. You go to God's word and say, well, God, is this right or is this wrong? And you go to God's word, and when God says it, you obey it. Just submit to Him. Maybe there's some things God's been dealing with your heart about for a while. And God wants to bless you. He wants to give mercy and grace to you. But you've just got to come to the place where you're ready to deal with it. And you're going to do that by getting in God's Word and praying, asking God to help you to overcome these things and to get you beyond it. But you're going to have to submit yourself. Guard your tongue. You're going to have to agree with God about your sin issues. Get away from the wrong crowd. Get away from the wrong influences and the wrong kind of situations. You say, preacher, that just kind of sounds like isolation to me. God puts up boundaries in our life to help keep us out of the world. God puts up boundaries in our life to keep the world out of our life. See, there's always boundaries for God's people. Why? Because He knows prone to wander is who we are, right? And we have to have those boundaries. Why do they have guardrails on the side of the highway? To keep you in the right place, right? Why do they have lines on the road? To keep you on the side that you're supposed to be on. Otherwise, there's going to be a mass confusion and chaos. Listen, don't look at God's boundaries as things that tie you down. Look at them as ways to keep you safe. Because that's exactly what they are. And you just got to agree with God and get rid of the sin issues in your life. Listen, nobody in this church is going to come to you and say, I can't believe you came down to the altar. What's wrong in your life? Look at them and say, none of your business. I got it right with God. And listen, don't be saying, well, I just want to pray for you. What are you dealing with? Say, well, I don't know, but you're dealing with gossip, so we need to get right about that. The fact of the matter is, we all have issues that we need to deal with. And we just need to agree with God about it. Yes, our sin's under the blood for the future, but we're still sinners. And for eternity, we get to go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But we can still live a life of sin on this earth. And God's blessing will not happen upon our life if we continue to live in sin. We have to agree with God about our sin. We have to deal with it. If the nation of Israel would not have dealt with it, they wouldn't have gotten any further than where they were right then. And listen, we're not going to go any further for the Lord than how much we'll be willing to deal with our sin issues. So here's the invitation tonight. First off, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Why? Because if without Jesus, you're going to die and go to a place called hell. And that's just truth. There is no in-between. There is no purgatory that you can float around in and wait for somebody to pray you into heaven or you give enough offering for the priest to pray you in quicker. Not going to happen that way. To be absent with the body is present with the Lord if you're saved. If you're not, you'll open your eyes in torments. There is no in between. You need to choose Jesus. Why? Because He died for you. shed his blood on the cross for you, buried, rose again, offering life for you. By faith, you'll receive him. He'll accept you as his child. But as his child, if you're living with sin in your life, you need to deal with it. You need to deal with it tonight. Why? Because God wants to bless you and give you things that are beyond what you can even imagine. But he can't do it if you're not willing to get rid of the things in your life that you're hanging on to. Listen, if it's not pleasing to the Lord, he's already told you what it is. I don't have to go through a whole list of stuff. Well, maybe it's this, or maybe it's this. Well, preacher didn't mention it, so I... The Holy Spirit told you already. There's something that you were thinking about the whole time I was preaching tonight. And the Holy Spirit's saying, that's it. That's the thing. Are you willing to give it up tonight? Deal with the sin problem. I promise it'll be a peace that'll come upon your life if you'll just give it to God. Amen. With heads bowed, eyes closed tonight.